Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. So grateful that you're continuing to walk with us through the liturgical year. Each year, year after year, we walk in accordance with the story of our Lord so that we can be more conformed to His likeness and image. As Scripture tells us, St. Paul tells us, actually, in the Epistle to the Romans, that we are conformed more and more to His likeness as we go on in this journey of faith, as we continue on. And we are entering into the 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And, you know, Holy Mother Church has given us some consolation in the first three readings. Well, the first two readings in the psalm. We have been given some great readings that kind of tickle our ears as followers of Jesus. We have Isaiah 25. We have a snippet from there. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. Later on, he says that God, the Lord God, will wipe away the tears from every face, which we see St. John picking up again in the book of Revelation. And so, I mean, this is good news, right? This is good stuff to hear, and knowing that the Lord really cares for us and He knows what's best for us and He wants to provide just wonderful, wonderful things for us. Then in the responsorial psalm, we have Psalm 23. Many people, I'm sure, would say that this is their favorite psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures He gives me repose, and you probably know the rest. And it's just, again, so consoling to hear this. Then St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, we have that as our second reading. And he says, he has that great line, I can do all things in Him, that is, in Christ Jesus, who strengthens me, right? He can do all things. And he goes on to say, my God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Wonderful promises of things that the Lord will provide for us, and a great way to kick off the readings. And then we get to the gospel. And the gospel, interestingly enough, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, I hope that your parish, if you've not yet been to Mass, I hope that it uses the long version. If you've already been to Mass, then I hope it did use the long version. There's two options here, and the last four verses are kind of optional, depending on what your parish wants. And it's those verses that I want to focus in on. But just as an overview, this is the parable. Jesus is, we're spending a lot of time in the parables recently. This is another parable about the kingdom of heaven. This is the wedding feast for His son, where the king puts on a wedding feast for His son, right? And he goes out and he invites this invited guest, but they don't come. And he sends other servants saying, yep, everything's ready, come to the feast. Some ignored the invitation, went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Now, of course, these are all references. They are references in the past to the nation of Israel and the prophets being sent, and yet nothing, you know, not returning. And we've heard this before, and it's good stuff to remember because it's wise to know our history, our salvation history. But those last four verses, the king said to him, well, when the king came to meet the guests, right, because they'd gone out and they'd selected all sorts of people, both the bad and the good, we're told, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, my friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen. So we have consolation, 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 and then we have this parable of Jesus that puts us a little on edge. I would hope it makes us a little uncomfortable. What is Jesus talking about? We just told how wonderful things that the Lord has prepared for us, and now He's at this place of providing this stark warning, this wedding garment. Where do I get a wedding garment? What does it look like? Well, folks, I'm here to answer that for you today. No, I'm not answering it. Jesus is answering it through the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, as these Gospels are written, they're written through the inspired human authors who are utilizing literary techniques. And one of those techniques is to make sure that we're following all the way through, that we're letting different parts of the Gospel interpret others. And if we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically the Beatitudes, we're going to find that the wedding garment that we are given to wear, if we only say our yes to putting it on, is the wedding garment that is woven together with the Beatitudes. You know what I'm talking about, the poor, being poor in spirit, being merciful, mourning the sin and the evil in our world today, being meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being pure in heart. All these Beatitudes are what weaves together this wedding garment. And of course, this isn't something that we ourselves on our own human power can put together. We can't weave this together. Rather, it is what the Lord has woven together for us. And all we need do is to say our yes, to say our yes. And then we will, we say yes to the Lord in our life. We say yes to his work in our lives. And then we will partake in all of the goodness that is promised to us from Isaiah, from St. Paul, from the psalmist, from David, in saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. All right, so that's my little rejoinder for today. What we've got going on today in the show, great stuff. We've got Archbishop Hebda with us. Tom Holden is going to speak with him in just a moment about the Praying with Scripture series, part of the Archdiocesan Synod. A little bit later on, we have Cindy Keppel with us, the CEO of Abrea. She's going to talk to us about the Celebrate Life Gala that's coming up. And then finally in the show, we're going to speak with Nancy and Bill Benzuk, who are going to talk about winning $100,000 in a grant and then putting that to good use in a ministry they call Catholic Sprouts. So that's what's on store for the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we're always wanting to show how God's working in our midst here in this local church, we thought it would probably be a good idea to make sure we're featuring the bishops more regularly on the show. So today, Tom Holden, the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Communication, kicks us off when he had a chance to sit down with Archbishop Hebda and talk about the ongoing Praying with Scripture series. Let's have a listen.
Archbishop Hebda, thank you for joining us on the show this week.
You are most welcome, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we are very thankful, very grateful that you're here. So let's get right to it. There's a lot happening in our world and in our church right now, both hopeful and troubling. We don't have to look too hard at the internet or the newspaper or the TV news to find that out. But one of the hopeful and encouraging things, really, is the Archdiocese Praying with Scripture series. Now, this weekend marks the final of the five parts already. It's gone very fast. It's been a fast month, right?
It's hard to believe that it's the fifth week already.
And of course, the Rediscover Hour listeners know all about the series as it was introduced before it began back on September 13th. What are your thoughts on the series now that we're just about through it? And then what have you heard from folks about it? Is it bearing fruit?
Well, I certainly hope that it's bearing fruit, Tom. At least from what I've heard, people have really received it well. A number of people have said that it's just what they were looking for, especially in this COVID time where they have a little bit more time to pray, maybe a little bit more control over their schedules. And so I'm happy that we were able to help in that way. But I certainly have been so moved by the testimonies that are part of the program as well. I mean, I knew that Bishop Cousins would be enlightening and I knew he would be terrific. But what's really inspired me have been the testimonies from our lay faithful and just hearing about their own prayer and how it's something that changes their lives. And, you know, some of those folks I've known now for 5 years, hard to believe. But I didn't know that side of them necessarily. So I'm so grateful that people have been willing to share those intimate moments in their prayer life with me and with our church. And I know that the benefit is going to be not only here in the Archdiocese, but even more broadly. I had the chance to speak about this series on another radio program. And was interesting that I received feedback from people all over the country. And they also were very interested in what the Archdiocese was doing to help people to learn how to pray. And I found that really encouraging.
And it's important for people to know that this was a fruit of the delay in the synod, but this is certainly something that's not specific just to the synod. This is something that we hope here in the Archdiocese that this Praying with Scripture series really lives forever, right?
Yes, no, absolutely. And it's a little bit like spring training before the season, in the sense that when we finally get ready to really dig deep into the synod, that we're going to be in a better position to do that because of our foundation in prayer. One of the beautiful parts about the prayer and listening events was the experience that people had with guided prayer when we were getting together. And, initially, many people had commented, and I had worried about that as well, that we were dedicating too much time to the prayer portion. Mm-hmm. People wanted to be able to speak. They wanted me to be listening to what they had to say. And yet, after the prayer and listening events, so many of them commented on how helpful they found the prayer portion, because it set the groundwork for everything else that followed. And I'm hoping that's going to be the case with the synod as well. And that as we take this time now to work on our prayer lives and to really use Scripture as the basis for our prayer, that's going to be something that's really profitable. You know, for many of us who've had the privilege of going through seminary training or having been involved in something like the Institute for Priestly Formation, what's being presented in the series is something that's very familiar. But we realize that for many people, they've never really had that kind of exposure to Ignatian prayer, and people are finding that they have an appetite for it. And I think that's really amazing and encouraging for sure.
Yeah, it's certainly been just a blessing and an honor to be part of the production of the series. And as you mentioned, to hear the stories of people and really the journey, and that no one's ever done on this prayer journey.
Amen. But Tom, you said you had a part in it. You know, you've had such a huge part in it. And that's one of the amazing things is how this project has been something calling forth gifts for many people on our staff, but many of our volunteers as well. Gifts that I didn't even know that people had. And yet the Lord's really using them and their experiences. That's certainly the case with you, I think, Tom. And I'm very grateful for that.
Well, thank you, Archbishop. And I've just been inspired by people, and they're vulnerable and they're real, and they just really share from the depths of their hearts. And if people haven't been on the series, it's one of the benefits of living in a digital world is that this series will live, and you can go back and you can start over. You can do this as you're with your study group or your small group or with your Bible study. And we've gotten contacts from folks around the Archdiocese who've asked, can we use this as our Advent reflection? You know, can we use this series? And of course the answer is absolutely yes.
Absolutely. That's terrific. I hope that it gets used, especially those beautiful testimonies.
Let's talk for a couple minutes, Archbishop, about the final week installment. It's all about overcoming distractions in prayer. And when we did the 39 interviews with folks, these testimonials, the reaction was almost universal. So many distractions, whether someone's new in prayer or whether they've had a deep and rich prayer life over many years. Can you share, and you're the presenter for this week, can you share maybe some of your distractions as someone who's so busy and in doing the work of the church day in and day out? What are some of yours and how do you handle them?
Yes. Just first to say, one of the things that was really helpful for me when I was first really addressing distraction in my own prayer was realizing that I wasn't alone, right? So when you read St. Therese's journal, and she speaks about the things that would have been distracting her in chapel, something as basic as the sound of rosary beads hitting one another, huh? That all of those things can be distractions. And one of the beautiful things, though, too, is that sometimes those distractions or things that appear to be distractions can also be the way in which the Lord is asking us to move our prayer in a certain direction. You know, so too often if I'm somewhat feeling distracted by somebody else in the church or in the chapel, if I take a moment to try to pray for that person who might be distracting me, I find that can be really, really helpful. And it also assists me then in being able to go deeper in my prayer when I realize that the Holy Spirit can always be prompting us and using all kinds of different tactics for how it is that we pray. When I was in seminary, we would often go to retreat at a place called the Villa Cavalletti. And they always had, it was run by the Jesuits, and they always had excellent presenters, and everything was just so optimal. But when the seminarians would come back, we would often say that we learned more from the horses who were running free on the property of the Villa Cavalletti than from our spiritual directors, in the sense that so often you'd see those horses with the flies going all over, and it didn't seem to bother them. And you know, there would be an occasional swish of the tail, but otherwise they were able to, in the midst with all of those little flies, they were still able to go about their lives. And for many of us as seminarians, we would see those distractions in prayer as being a little bit like those flies. And either you can be so focused on them that you can't do what you need to do, or else you can just kind of let them pass and really be occasions to get back to the task at hand, which is uniting our heart with the heart of Jesus. And certainly when we know that it's the Lord who in so much wants our prayer, wants our attention, that he's going to help us to use every situation to grow closer to him, even in those times of distraction. But certainly I find it's very, very helpful to take some time before I begin to pray, just to quiet down and maybe to run through those things that could be distractions, run through my day before I even begin to address the scripture passage that I would be using as the basis of my prayer. I sometimes would try to do it in two steps, actually. So when I enter the church, I stay standing and try to go through all the events of my day. Let all of that out. And, you know, areas where the Lord might be asking me to pray, and try to just quiet myself and allow the Lord to do that for me before I actually sit down and begin to address the scripture passage. So that's been something that's been helpful for me. But I've also had those times where things that I thought were distractions then actually would later show themselves to be avenues for growing closer to the Lord too, or areas where he really wanted to move my heart. So you don't want to be too quick to dismiss the distractions either.
Something that, you know, I've learned so much just listening to our priests and the lay faithful during this process is, I think it was Father James Stiles who said, you know, every time you go back to prayer after that distraction, you're saying yes. It's your fiat, right? And he says, and that God wants your yes. I think it made me feel a little bit better because, you know, the distractions, even at 11 o'clock at night in the Adoration Chapel, you know, you think, okay, it's really quiet, it's the end of the day, but it's that yes and the turning back towards our Lord and giving him what you have.
What a great insight, right? Because ultimately, that's what prayer is about, that decision that we're making for Jesus. And he uses all of those things to help us with that. So that's a great point.
Yeah, I was very grateful that Father Stiles had mentioned that because it's helped me just in my prayer since we interviewed him about a month ago. Well, we're coming to the end of the Praying with Scripture, and we're moving into Healing and Hope, which is another 5-week retreat. This one focused, as it would sound, on healing and hope. Explain a little bit of it, and are these hopes or hurts that we need healing? Are they from the people in the church? Are they? I mean, we're all hurt, right? We're all broken.
Yes. So actually, Tom, I mean, it's a very broad topic. It's a broad project that's enabling people to come forward with whatever hurts they might have and that they would want to present to the Lord for healing. And but initially, as we were thinking about that and as we were looking at what we thought might arise in the prayer and listening events, I was kind of assuming that the need for healing would have been a major concern voiced by the people in our archdiocese. And it stemmed a little bit from those listening sessions that had been held when I was the administrator here. So if you can remember all the way back then, and people spoke about healing, right? We were very conscious of the brokenness in our church that came from people not having trust in the church, or having experienced abuse, or having experienced cover-up. So at that time, that was a huge issue. Amazingly, post-bankruptcy, and as we've had the opportunity to engage more in further discussions in that area, and certainly some of the great work that's being done by Father Dan Griffith and the restorative justice team, I think that that's really also had an impact then on what's most on the minds of our faithful. Now, my sense, though, even though people didn't talk so much about healing, particularly in that area, that it's still a major issue for us, right? And that if we would take that time, much as we're doing to lay the foundation with prayer, that if having been enriched by that prayerful presence of the Lord in our lives, if we would be able to spend some time really considering how it is that we might accept the healing that the Lord desires for each of us, and how we can then be instruments of healing, that would really assist us in the synod process as well. That as we come forward, we would be able to enter more fully into the process if we're able to be men and women of hope. And that's ultimately what the healing brings. When we recall the many ways in which so much of Jesus's ministry was devoted to healing, and that then gives us an opportunity to recognize that that's what the Lord continues to desire for his church, and his presence is always a healing presence, and that we would look forward to that. And as we talk about, you know, other areas in the church, when we talk about you know, the importance of becoming missionary disciples, or the importance of engaging our youth and young adults, that we would be in that position of knowing God's love, being men and women of hope, because we've experienced his healing in our lives. So in my mind, it's an important next step for preparing for the synod. And I'm so grateful that Father Joseph Bambinek, who's been helping us with the synod, has a lot of experience in this area, and he's devoted a lot of prayer and study to this, and that he's going to be, has assembled a team that will really lead us well through that area.
Yeah, and I've been blessed to be part of this project too, and the lay people and the clergy and the depth of their understanding of God's mercy and just the process that healing is. And to, yeah, it's just really, it's really been inspiring. It's very, I don't want to say exciting, but it really is to see, again, lay people and members of our clergy who are just so committed to Christ, to his people, and to that healing, as you say, that's just so important for us.
Yes. And who would have ever imagined when we were planning this initially that that there would be this COVID pandemic?
Right.
That would also be having an impact on the church. And so we're very, I think it's helped us to be very much focused on the Lord's role in bringing healing to the world.
Yeah, and for more information, all you have to do is go to archspm.org/synod for both the Praying with Scripture and Healing with Hope sessions. Archbishop, our time is up, unfortunately, for this month with you. Would you please give us your blessing?
Sure, Tom. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Archbishop Hebda, thank you so much for joining us this month. We look forward to your visit in November as well.
Thank you, Tom.
That's great. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Archbishop, for that. Remember, just go to archspm.org/synod for updates on the synodal process as well as the Praying with Scripture series. And remember to keep tuning in here to the Rediscover Hour for regular updates from the bishops. We are going to go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Cindy Keppel with us. She's going to be speaking to us about Abria's Celebrate Life Gala. Stay with us.
Rediscover. How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Holding on to hope.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, and so glad that you're joining us here to hear from Archbishop Hebda. We just heard from him, and now we're hearing from Cindy Keppel, who's the CEO of Abria Pregnancy Resources. So grateful that you could join us again, Cindy. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, so grateful to be here with you, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, it's been a while since we've talked about Abria here on the show. Why don't you give our listeners a quick reminder of what Abria is all about?
Thank you. I sure would be happy to do that. Abria is the light in our cities for women who are experiencing unplanned pregnancy. We are located in two locations in our great cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. And we encounter women right at their first moment of crisis when they're trying to make sense of all of their decisions right in front of them. And we meet them right where they are, bring them into our program, and invite them on a journey that will have them paired one-on-one with a personal life coach that will help them to navigate that journey successfully together. So they're never alone. When they walk in our doors, they're immediately paired with this person, and they are given all the support and resources they might need to make a really well-informed decision.
That's wonderful. Now, how have things been going with Abria? I think that's my question. Are you seeing lots of young women and maybe even some young men taking advantage of the services you provide?
We sure are. It's been an interesting journey, hasn't it, for all of us with this pandemic?
Right,
and
yeah.
What I would say to you is the unique women that we have within our clinic, on our team, each gifted with different talents, have really come together. We immediately, when this pandemic began and COVID came into the forefront, we all came together immediately and were committed as a board and as an organization that we would not close our doors, that we would remain open and accessible. We worked with some of our partners in the community to make sure they knew, no matter what was going on, that Abria would have someone on staff in clinic to receive a woman if she had a need anywhere else in the city with any of our community partners. So we are proud to say that we've stayed open. We have not decreased service at all. In fact, we saw in that first week of COVID, we saw seven women walk across the street to us who had been determined to abort their baby and really changed. Many of them walked with us on the journey to change their mind in a direction that was a life-affirming to themselves as well as their child. So wow. We've humbly been blessed to continue to walk with women. We've also anticipated what their needs were during this time. Many are isolated and they're home with young toddlers. And so our team put together immediate Zoom classes. And so our women are able to come every week into small group classes. It's been beautiful to see them build community, not only with our team inside of Abria, but with each other, other moms in the community who are also home with their kids and shut in their homes at this time. So they're coming together for story time and empowerment education on how they can make good decisions and become a better parent at this stage in their life. And our life coaches continue to remain available via Zoom and in person for women who are in this journey.
I think that's so affirming. Sometimes in our wider society, it can get to the point where people are kind of thinking, well, some people, I won't say all people, but some people think that, well, yeah, it's fine for you to be, you know, pro-life or whatever and not support abortion or be against abortion and that sort of thing. But what are you really doing for the women who are facing these unexpected pregnancies, and how are you supporting these women? And I think Abria, along with others, of course, but Abria is such a great example of exactly that, of showing support to these women who are facing these unexpected pregnancies, who are facing, I mean, literal life-changing, life-altering, life-and-death decisions that are before them. And Abria is there to help them with that, to say yes to life, to say yes to God, to say yes to God's purpose in their life as well as in the life of their child. So I, for one, let me just express my thanks to you, Cindy, and your whole team for all the good work that Abria does.
Well, we're grateful for our partnership with Relevant Radio. You guys help us every year and get the word out about the work we continue to do. And I certainly couldn't do any of this without the amazing group of women that every day wake up and walk in our door and with a heart to serve others and a heart to really share all the information that a woman might need to catch her breath and make that decision going towards a positive life for herself and for her family.
Yeah, well, it's good work. It's godly work, to say the least. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you've got an upcoming Celebrate Life gala, although it's a virtual gala this year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you so much. This will be our sixth banquet that we've had. This is our sixth Celebrate Life gala, and because of the circumstances, just like many other organizations, we are going to a virtual event. But we've really considered a lot of things as we came into planning this very special evening with our donors and supporters and people who are interested in learning more about Abria. And we've asked Reverend Johnny Hunter to open our gala celebration. The week of October 23rd is our gala. But he's going to open us with a 24-hour prayer vigil on Thursday night, October 22nd at 7 p.m., people can go to our supporters.abria.org site, and they'll be able to see him opening us in prayer for the protection of life and healing over our cities. It just seems like in this climate and culture, we really need to be praying for both of those things, life and healing in our cities. And so we've put a spot on her supporters page where you can go on there, and you can click to reserve a time slot to pray in a 24-hour prayer vigil for the hours leading up to our virtual gala. So that's kind of an exciting way that we're going to enter into that evening together. And then we're very, very blessed to once again have Bishop Cousins join us and celebrate a virtual Mass for all of our supporters. And people, whether they're hosting a watch party in their home, which I can talk a little bit more about, or they're just in the comfort of their home wanting to dial in, they can access this Mass, this opening Mass for the evening, which with Bishop Cousins, and then join us following that Mass for a little cocktail concert. We still want to elevate this and make it a fun gala atmosphere. Mm. So if watch parties are going on, people are dressed in their cocktail attire. And T. Michael Rambo, who was beautiful and with us last year at our gala live, will be doing a little cocktail concert in the transition. Nice. From the Mass to the gala itself. And then the gala program will begin at 7 and in at 7:30. And that's where we'll share with you some of the incredible stories of the women we've served this year and the needs that we have to continue to really bring in money so that we can enter into 2021 really strong.
Wow, it sounds like a great lineup, and I'm intrigued by the prayer vigil. I think that's an excellent idea, and I'm just on your website now. I'm seeing that there's still plenty of opportunity for people to sign up, especially in those early morning hours. So if you fancy yourself giving to those early morning hours, or if you would like to make a sacrifice for life and for Abria and for the good work that they do, that sounds like a great way to do it. Now, you mentioned, Cindy, talking or hosting a watch party. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's involved in that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The watch parties, we wanted to provide opportunity for those that are comfortable coming together in small groups because many people are feeling isolated, and understandably, many people want to remain that way during this time. So we've opened an opportunity for people to host a watch party with maybe five couples in their home that's socially distanced and certainly set up to follow the guidelines. But these are cocktail parties that are hosted in homes around the cities, and we've got them all over the cities. And that host might do anything as creative as just having a few hors d'oeuvres that we've set up through Munns and Byerly's. They can deliver a little hors d'oeuvre package to the host's home. Or if it's a young adult group, maybe they want to do wings at their watch party. Yeah. So there's a lot of room for creativity here. The idea was just to inspire people to host a small gathering if they were comfortable and then tune in together on their big screen TV like we've all tuned into Mass over the and to church services over the few months that we've been in COVID. So this idea is just to gather together and know that there are all these watch parties going on all over the cities. And even though we're not in one big banquet or gala room, we are all together in spirit, in prayer, and in community.
Mm. Very good. And if you're whether you're hosting a watch party or not, do you, are you encouraging people to register for the gala?
We sure are. Thank you for asking that. They can go on our webpage, which is supporters.abria.org, and it'll bring up this beautiful picture of Celebrate Life Virtual Gala, and then click right on that button, and it will take you to the lineup of the evening. And it'll take you to where you can register, and then you go to that register here, click on that register button, and just let us know that you'll be tuning in, or reach out to Danielle Igbanigo in our office, and that number is listed there if you want to set up or get any more information about hosting a watch party. But we would love to know how many people are planning to tune in. It really helps and encourages our team to know that you're all out there supporting us. And so if we can celebrate in advance, knowing how many will be there, that will really get us going strong into the evening and help us to make the event really successful.
Now, I think in our audience, there are probably many people who are fully pro-life, are fully wanting to support the work that ABREA does. But is there anyone in particular that you would like to invite to partake in this virtual gala? Is there anybody who specifically might not know about it, but you would encourage them to check it out as well?
Yes, thank you. We want to keep this open to everyone. This is a non-denominational. It doesn't matter what your faith tradition is, or even if you have a faith tradition, because we know that these issues of dignity and women and life and providing support to women are critical to most of everybody who's out there. So I would say, you know, we're opening with Reverend Johnny Hunter and his Christian followers in the north side of our cities. We've got Bishop Cousins offering a mass. We've got people of all different backgrounds who are tuning in and wanting to cast a wide net, invite as many as would like to come. What you'll get out of the evening is just really a beautiful story of how their love and their support of our donors allows us to affirm all life of women, of their partner. We've seen these partners come in this year, which is just beautiful to see these young men feel empowered to help their partner make this decision for mm-hmm. her life and for the life of her child. So I would say men, women, children, young adults, anyone could come. It's viewer friendly for everyone, and it's really meant to reflect the beautiful work that we're doing within our clinic walls. So anybody and everyone is welcome.
Very good. Well, Cindy, we've run out of time, but I'm grateful that you've taken the time to be with us here on the Rediscover Hour, and we're grateful for all your continued work. God bless you as you continue it.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having us today, and we'll look forward to having you with us at the virtual gala.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Cindy. So the website, once again, is supporters.abria.org. It's on Friday, October 23rd. The prayer vigil begins on the 22nd. Go to supporters.abria.org. You'll find all the information there. We're going to head into our next break. When we come back, we've got Nancy and Bill Banzuk with us, who are going to talk about receiving a $100,000 grant and how they put it to good work in family ministry. Stay with us. Discover.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know I really appreciate it.
Well, dear,
it helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about the end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast 3 or 4 times to really, really understand it.
It helps.
Concentrated. And I need
it's,
to
yes, answer. Rather, I talk fast, yes.
It's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love. No measure of his faithfulness. He withholds no good thing from us.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berthium, our producer, Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Joining me now, Nancy and Bill Banzuk, they recently won the Catholic Innovation Challenge from OSV. We're going to talk to them about that. And their ministry for Catholic parents called Catholic Sprouts. They've been married for 10 years. They have 5 kids, 3rd grade through 1 year old. Nancy and Bill, welcome.
Hi, we're so glad to be here.
Very good.
Hi, Patrick. Hi.
Hi. And do I have your last name correct?
You're doing pretty good. It's a hard one. There's a Z in there. Yeah, Banzuk.
Banzuk. Okay, Zuch. Okay, well, very good. Sometimes you just have to guess being able to speak with you before the program. Well, great to have you on the program. Now, $100,000, that's no small change. Tell us about the grant, how you applied, and what happened when you won.
Sure. So OSV was really working, and they have been such a powerhouse in this area to really bring innovation to the church in all areas. And we have been running a daily podcast for Catholic kids called Catholic Sprouts for over 2 years now. And one of the people that listened just sent me the link and said, hey, I think what you're doing is innovative. You should apply. So without thinking about it very much, we applied. And this was over a year ago. And it started a huge journey for us. With OSV, they really came in and coached us, and eventually we got hooked up with the Idea Center out of Notre Dame, and they really helped us not only fine-tune our ideas, we have a real heart for serving Catholic families and helping them build up their own domestic churches.
Mm-hmm.
But they not only helped us fine-tune those ideas, but really gave us the confidence to go for it. So 400 people applied at the beginning, and 3 won, and God be praised, we were one of them.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite the journey.
Right here in the Archdiocese, too. I should have mentioned that you live in Delano and attend St. Maximin Kolbe, is that correct?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. That's correct.
Very good.
We
okay.
Love it out
well,
here.
Yeah, very good. Yes, absolutely. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about this Catholic Innovation Challenge. I mean, how did you first find out about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it really was through us just getting contacted through one of our listeners.
Okay.
And then really starting to dig into what it was, and just a really great place to foster Catholic innovation. You know, it really, like Nancy said, was very transformational for us. You know, not only, you know, we started out applying thinking that, you know, the podcast and some of the other great resources for whole family formation that we provide was part of the challenge. But then through that, we really focused on this concept of the domestic church and the project that we developed really came out of this challenge. So it really was the people that we were working with there helping us to think differently and about what we do and really to innovate, really to do that. And that's really what happened through this challenge. So, you know, that's what's just so exciting for us about it is the way that it, you know, helped us to think differently and pushed us.
So. Right, right. Well, you've bumped up against it a few times here. Let's get into what Catholic Sprouts is all about. Nancy, tell us about Catholic Sprouts, right. how the idea came and what it actually is.
So you said in our intro that we have five little kids. And, you know, it's very interesting how you think a family works before you have a family. I assumed that when I was a mom that we would, you know, that teaching the faith would be very natural and easy. And then as the kids keep coming and life is busy and someone's always crying and it's hard to get in daily catechesis. It's really hard. And I was struggling to do that with my own family. And I thought, you know, if you know, I study this stuff, I love it, and it's hard for me, it's got to be hard for everyone. So I'm kind of one of those silly people that gets an idea and makes it happen, you know, maybe sometimes when I shouldn't. And so I started a daily podcast mostly for my own kids. It's just 5 minutes. A lot of it is having to do with the liturgical season or the feast days that we're celebrating that day. This season, we're in season three. I've been at it for 3 years. We're doing a deep dive into Christology, who really was Jesus Christ, understanding him super well. So anyways, it's just a little dose, just 5 minutes. I made it, and, you know, I was right. A lot of parents were struggling with this, and we actually just passed 2 million downloads, which is super exciting.
Wow.
Lots of classrooms tune in and families. But through this whole process, we realized something. You know, I named it Catholic Sprouts for, you know, thinking little kids listening or, you know, anyone still in the development stages of their faith. What sure. we realized, though, is that any ministry for children is really a ministry for parents. Because, you know, as JP2 says, parents need to be the primary educators of their children's faith. It needs to be the parents. And, you know, he didn't say, you need to be the primary educators of your children's faith. You know, if you had good formation, if you grew up in a good home, like he didn't make those, he didn't make those like easy outs for us that didn't have good formation. You know, it's everyone. So we realized and we started to hear from families that listened and even teachers that listened that they were getting so much out of it. And that what was happening is that the parents were getting educated in these little doses of what we believe. And then they were able to, you know, discuss it or, you know, bring the points up again with their students or with their children. And we realized, you know, we didn't necessarily have the plan in mind, but God is good and he leads you there, that's the way it should be. That it should be whole families learning together in something that's very easy to access and consume and can engage everyone's hearts at once. And then the parents lead faith conversations, you know, whether it's just reminding yourself of what you've just heard or applying it to your life. But that's, you know, and then we, through this challenge, we were really promoted to look at the research, you know. OSV is all about, and I really appreciate this, they're about, you know, let's see what works. Let's go to the research. Let's see what, you know, what has worked out there and what hasn't. And let's focus on what has. And the research shows that the way that faith is transferred from parent to child is through faith conversations in the home. You know, authentic, intimate conversations about the faith. Like, that's the key. It's not, you know, oh, a brand new faith formation curriculum or the fact that a parent went and got a theology degree. Like, those things matter so, so much less than whether a family is sitting down and talking about the faith, even if they don't have the answers, you know, even right. if it's like, oh, I don't know, let's talk to Father about that after Mass. But so we really were empowered by that. And I think that helps all of us that had weak formation ourselves.
Right.
It gives us permission to learn with our children and then to talk about it with them, you know, and confidence that that's enough and that's good. So, so that's the premise. So our whole project is really engaging audio lessons that families listen to together at night, and then they talk about it, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And it leads families over 6 weeks through a gentle but complete transformation. So the first bit is all about demo, about dealing with the wounds in your family, the distractions, the, you know, clearing away a place and a time to pray. Then we go into building the domestic church, you know, putting in those pillars, reminding ourselves of obedience and service and worship, you know. And then the last part is all about sending, you know, going forth, embracing the specific mission that God has given your family. So we've taken about 120 families most of the way through it. We're testing it out right now. And it's just exciting because it's a reminder that teaching the faith is a lot easier than we all kind of assumed. And even if our own formation was bad, we can make something beautiful. We can lead our own domestic churches.
Which is so great and so timely in this time of pandemic when a lot of families are finding a lot more time at home and they're having to look to some of these resources and what's available for the home. Bill, let me ask you, with such a grant, I know that, Nancy, you do all the podcast and the printed materials and all that sort of thing. And Bill, you're in projects and operations here. So this must have made some difference in projects and operations, I would have guessed.
Yeah, I mean, this grant really gives us the ability to think differently about how we, you know, and create something that we can bring to families out there that's really easy to use. So we're really looking at developing a great app to house and bring this project along with other similar opportunities to families so that they can start and really keep that faith conversation going. Like Nancy said, you know, for me, when I learned about this research, I was just so, it created so much hope in me because I think as Catholic parents, we, you know, it's certainly a concern for all of us is, you know, how can we make sure our kids, you know, understand and fully love the faith as much as we do. Mm-hmm. And really being able to just have that simple conversation in really easy ways without having to add, you know, a significant amount of additional time to our already busy lifestyles,
right.
You know, really can make such a difference. So certainly having some additional capital to do some development work around app and around an app and the kind of design and the way that we can really bring this to families in a really great and seamless way certainly makes a lot of difference from an operations perspective. Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, we only have about a minute remaining, but Nancy, I wanted to make sure that we did mention, because you're really plugged in with this stuff. Where can people find Catholic Sprouts?
So you can listen to our daily podcast absolutely anywhere where you listen to podcasts. You can come and check out our website, CatholicSprouts.com, which has links to everything, including at the very top, there's a link to our other site, the Domestic Church Project, which is this big six-week program to help families set up and lead their own domestic church. We're there, and I'd love to connect with you.
That's wonderful. And I'm just, I'm kind of blown away by your website here too. There's all sorts of resources there. I really want to encourage people to go and check it out, CatholicSprouts.com. Well, Nancy and Bill, so grateful that you could join us and thank you for the work that you continue to do, especially in these pandemic times to help strengthen and encourage the domestic church and parents. Well, I would say throughout the Archdiocese, but really throughout the world. I mean, in the way that you're plugged in here. So thank you so much for that and God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yes, God bless you as well.
All right, we're going to go into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I, as always, have some interesting stuff coming up your way to help strengthen and encourage your faith. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio. And there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You know the drill. Mass is still dispensed, but if you're going to Mass, wear your mask. To stay up to date with our local church during the pandemic, visit archspm.org/COVID-19 for spiritual resources and alternatives to in-person Mass.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions right here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon and 7:30. Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon, and the Family Rosary Across America at 7 every night.
Not to be missed, indeed. The Praying with Scripture series, part of the Archdiocesan Synod, as we just heard from Archbishop Hebda, is well underway, but you can still take part. This virtual five-part series offers practical tools for growing in holiness with teaching from Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins. Go to archspm.org/synod.
Have you always wanted to visit Lourdes but never could find the time or the money? The Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women is promoting a free night, that's right, free, virtual pilgrimage to Lourdes, Sunday, November 1st, 3 to 5 p.m. By participating, you'll have Lourdes holy water mailed to you, you'll be eligible for a plenary indulgence, and you'll get to draw close to our Lord and our Lady by experiencing some of the depth and beauty of this holy site. Registration is required. Go to archspm.org/events.
That sounds like a pretty good deal right there, I gotta say. A virtual pilgrimage. What a great thing for the pandemic. And you can also join the St. Paul's Seminary School of Divinity for the online Archbishop Ireland Memorial Library Lecture featuring Jason Adkins, Executive Director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference and regular guest here on the Rediscover Hour. Monday, October 12th at 7 p.m., Jason will present Progressivism, Patriotism, and Patriarchy, Competing Identities in Post-Liberal America. For more information and the webinar link, visit semssp.org.
And remember, there's a new time for Saturday's Rediscover Hour. A new time now. Tune in for the Rediscover Hour Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Relevant Radio 1330.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop reminding people of that because pretty soon, you know, I mean, they should get that, Paul, right?
Well, maybe.
All right, very good.
I don't have it yet.
Be sure to check out archspm.org/events for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. And remember, folks, you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. All you got to do is go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address. And don't forget to follow Rediscover Faith on Facebook and Evangelization ArchSPM on Instagram. I know it's a big term, but you can find it. Evangelization ArchSPM. Find it there on Instagram, where you'll receive all sorts of great updates, including from here, the Rediscover Hour.
There's so much going on in the church in the Twin Cities. It's amazing.
It is amazing, especially during pandemic times. I mean, yeah. It just doesn't stop, and I am just continually inspired. I hope you, our listeners, are inspired by this too, that you get to see that God is still alive. He's still with us. He's still empowering the church to reach out with the truth, grace, and love of Christ, even in the midst of a pandemic. Well, we are continuing to reach out with the Rediscover Hour here too, so next time on the Rediscover Hour, we'll chat with Randy Haney about the new solar panel project happening at St. Joseph's in Rosemont. Brother Ken and Brother Matthew of the Brotherhood of Hope share about their ministry at the University of Minnesota campus during pandemic. And Father Joseph Bamanek will give us a preview of the Healing and Hope series, part of our Archdiocesan Synod. That's all coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. So grateful that you joined us this time. In the meantime, keep the faith, go to church, and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 1, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.